name is Amanda, and just a lot of issues that are happening in her marriage right now that are very tough for them to try to deal with. And also for my friends Danny and Lynn, again, just struggling with the relationship and trying to figure out what the next step is going to be.
Deep prayer for Amanda, Danny, and Lynn.
I'll share a joy. It was a joy on Friday night to go to, with I think there were five or six of us from this congregation, to go to the Brazilian barbecue, the fundraiser for the Presbyterian Immigrant Ministry, which is which Gerson Anuncio Sal.
Anuncio Sal
is one of, he does the men's Bible studies, but they've expanded to do. There's also another woman who does women's Bible studies in the prisons with immigrants in the prison system. And they expected only to have 20 or 30 people, but there were
151.
Yeah, it was amazing. So it was a long night, but it was a wonderful celebration. And they hope to make it a yearly thing. So if you didn't make it this year, make sure you keep your ears open for next year.
Amen.
Amen.
Definitely. Praise be to God for Gordon now being the Dr. Gordon, having completed his dissertation in the process. So congratulations, Gordon. Let us pray. Holy God, we come to you. Jesus Christ, our peace, sent forth by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you fill us up in this day, that you surround us with your peace and sustain us with your grace and strengthen us with your word, so that we may always be true and faithful disciples. This we pray, rejoicing in God's promise of a new creation. Let us pray to the maker of heaven and earth, saying, God of new life, hear our prayer. This day we pray for your church, O Lord. Keep us ever faithful in our worship and in our service, bearing witness to what Christ has done among us and to the hope of his coming glory to reign. God of new life, hear our prayers. This day we pray for the world, for the places in which restoration and healing are needed, in light of earthquakes, in light of corruption, in light of brokenness, in the ways that we can mistreat each other. Let your majesty shine, O God. Let your mercy rain down. Humble the leaders of the nations. Teach them to serve with justice and peace. God of new life, hear our prayers. We pray for this community, for those running for good causes in marathons, for those desiring to be sources of reconciliation, for those who are witnessing to your good news in ways great and small. Encourage those who watch and wait for justice, oftentimes feeling impatient. Empower those in our midst in this community with the gifts of your Spirit to live even now in the light of your holy realm. God of new life, hear our prayers. God, we pray for loved ones on this day. We pray for Louis, his family, in light of his newest diagnosis. We pray for Amanda and Danny and Lynn and the struggles of relationships and heartache. God, we need you to show yourself anew in the places of brokenness and pain. God, we give thanks for the safety of CJ's granddaughters in the midst of what could have been horrific. Continue to show your signs of protection around them as they recover and live. God, we thank you for the ways in which you have embraced and welcomed Eunice into your church triumphant. We give thanks for 98 years of life, of friendship, of wisdom. God, this day we join with Vlasta and her friends and family as they celebrate that a scan has come back and she is cancer-free on this day. For the ways in which your people can give a little and do a lot, we say thank you for the work of PIM. We say thank you for a successful fundraiser. We say thank you for your provisions of what was expected to be a little being an overflowing, beautiful abundance of people standing in solidarity with those who can feel and be treated like the least of these. God, we give thanks for Becca's new season ahead, for the discernments and the ways in which you are standing in her future, beckoning her, for the good things, O Lord, for new seasons and the completions, for Gordon, the wisdom you have offered him, the steadfastness to complete such a beautiful goal, as he steps and continues to evolve in your call for his life. For the ways that you have invited us to be together as loved ones, we say thank you. God, put your heavenly healing power to work in the lives of all who are suffering and sick, we pray this day. Fill your people with the fullness of life that only you can offer. God of new life, hear our prayer. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Join with me with the prayer of illumination. Dear Lord, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds to hear your words and to hear how you are calling us and our lives to spread your love and your word in the world. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, from Psalm 47, which can be found on page 490 in your pew Bible and page 637 on the large print Bible. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to the Lord with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Our second lesson, comes from the New Testament, from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, which can be found on the Pew Bible on page 110, and in the large print Bible on page 143. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning. Brothers and sisters, today we are invited to celebrate the witness and to witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords of all the earth. We are invited and lifted up in spirit to a place of reverent reality. In the words that we pray, and in the words that we sing, and in the scripture that is proclaimed, and in the meal that we eat. Not because of how great we are on our own, though. Not because of our intelligence and having figured this out somehow. Not because of our wealth or our abject beauty, although you are all beautiful, or any other human attribute, but because of who God is. Because of who God is in the world and in our lives. We witness to the reign of Christ because Jesus is worthy to be praised. Amen? Amen. Jesus is worthy to be praised. And we proclaim that and witness that, like all the faithful who have come before. Richard Halverson, a late Presbyterian minister and chaplain to the U.S. Senate, once said this: "The New Testament Christians did not witness because they had to, but because they could not help it." We too are compelled to share the good news of the Messiah, not because we have to, but because we can't stand but to do so. Today we are celebrating that it was foretold by the Hebrew prophets of old that the Messiah, the Anointed One, would come. And he has done this, that. And he came not just for a few, as they originally thought, but this Messiah has now come to reign over the whole of the earth. For all of us. The prophetic and poetic words of today's psalm express this truth, and it offers a bold directive of how we are to respond to the truth of God's glory, the truth of our Lord's reign. It says, "Clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth." The psalmist is declaring that the authentic response of joy, of knowing that our Lord is the Lord of all, our King is the King of all, so therefore it is not sufficient to just sit there, unaffected. But it is truthful and good to clap your hands in loud adoration, to lift high songs of joy, not for show, not for spectacle, but because we are compelled to do so. Because that is what it means to be lifted up in hand and in voice, in body and in spirit, as we witness to the awesomeness that is God's rule on the earth. In hands and in voice, in body and in spirit, we are compelled to respond. And while I know not everyone is comfortable with clapping, I get it. Not everyone is comfortable with shouting, I get it. And not everyone is comfortable with singing loud songs of praise. But the psalmist is yet again inviting us to what it means to be vulnerable and authentic with fully embodied worship and praise as a witness to the glory and reign of God. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord is Most High. The God that we serve is awesome and the great King over all the earth. As a worshiping community, we continue to discern how to integrate the diverse and dynamic forms of praise in our midst. And as we do so, we are offered this text as something to hold on to as we figure out what it means to step into places of liberation and joy, hearing the command through the psalmist. But there's a curious thing I've always wondered, particularly of us who are more reserved and really say, like, I just don't like clapping. I don't like yelling. I don't like getting very excited. It's just not me. I actually get that. We all have very different temperaments. But I've also noticed that those same people, well, they can respond jubilantly, should I say, when Tom Brady throws an awesome pass into the end zone. They go wild, these same people who don't move. Or Isaiah Thomas does an awesome dunk into the, they can go crazy. They're compelled without even thinking about it, like, yeah, that was an awesome play. They can shout. They can even do a touchdown dance in the living room. The same thing can be true of our responses to things like winning a bingo game or seeing your beloved children succeed at something, right? We know that. Like, you can't contain it. Like, they won the spelling bee! Yes! That's so awesome! Being surprised with an award, there's lots of places that tend to hit that button, and we're oftentimes even surprised how we respond, right? Like, I didn't think I would be so excited about that. They are, and we are, literally lifted up in mind, body, and spirit in celebration at times. And so I often wonder, what would it take for us to have that same excitement over the triune God who offers us our very breath? What if the reality of Jesus' self-emptying sacrifice on the cross and subsequent liberation of all of humanity from the wages of sin and death was just enough to give you a ripple of joy, to make you want to clap, not because you have to clap, but because you are compelled to make some kind of noise that is joyful? Brothers and sisters, what would it take? Or what keeps us from being lifted up to this place of joy every day when we think about how good, how awesome our God really is? To be lifted up by the truth of Christ's reign over the whole world is beautiful, and it's powerful, and it's transforming, and it is life-giving, even in the midst of the messiness and the ugliness that is this life as well. Today we are celebrating the day of the Ascension a little bit early, because technically it would have been on Thursday, but we don't gather on Thursday. In case you are a person who likes to count the 40 days since Easter. This is a day during the Eastertide, during this Easter season, that we reflect on what it means to have watched Jesus be lifted up to heaven after his resurrection. As we reflect on and celebrate the ascension of Jesus, I pray that we will feel the awe and the awesomeness of what it means to worship a Jesus that is lifted over, not over a few of us, he could have just hovered, but over the whole of the earth, the whole of the world, all of creation, so that we may join in the song like the psalmist offers, that the Lord Most High is awesome and King over the whole earth. Our Apostles' Creed, which we read on a regular basis, offers these words. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And then it continues, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. That is the Christmas story, right? Then it says, I believe he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. That is the Holy Week story. Amen? Then the third day he rose again from the dead. That is the resurrection Easter story. Amen? And then the section that ends about Jesus says, and he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That is the ascension story. That is how key this story is to our faith life and understanding of Christ. Like the author Luke, who wrote both the Gospel of Luke and Acts, our New Testament scripture, also known as the Acts of the Apostles, he begins the second volume, the second gathering of scripture, in the same way he had began the first. So we're going to shift our attention to our Acts passage now. And he writes it to someone named Theophilus. Blessed Theophilus, how awesome is this particular person that you get not one but two books written to you that make it to our final count. You may not love the name Theophilus. You may not want to name your next child Theophilus. But that guy's pretty cool, or lady, to have gotten two books of our canon dedicated. Theophilus, regardless of how you think there is a ring or not a ring to that name, is pretty special. Theophilus is you. Theophilus, Theophilus, God lover. This text is written to us, with us in mind from the beginning. Luke is lifting us up, literally, from spectators, from third-hand, fourth-hand readers of this to, no, reader, hearer of this particular text, I'm talking to you. And you are pulled in, invited to find yourself in the story. Luke is lifting us by the power of the Holy Spirit from distance to closeness to participation in the very acts, movements, and life of the early church and the church today. You God lovers, this book is for you. Luke begins Acts saying, in the first book, which he was referring to was the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote of all that Jesus had taught from the beginning of the day until he was taken into heaven, after giving instructions that through the Holy Spirit the apostles for whom he had chosen. After his suffering, that is after the betrayals and after the crucifixion, Jesus presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them for 40 days. That gets us to the day of ascension. This is a simple but important bridge between the two volumes. It's the equivalent of a synoptic flashback at the beginning of a new season of your favorite show. In case you don't remember what happened last season, Jesus did this, he came for this, he suffered here, he spoke, he was alive, and we're here to now. It is the equivalent of a Lucan version of previously on the pages of the Bible turns. Luke is pointing to the ascension as a key turn, a joint, for instance, in how we understand our identity. It is a joint in the gospel of Jesus Christ, for at the time of the ascension, Jesus were to go to the right hand of the Father. We truly, that moment when that cloud takes him in, that moment is everything. Because no longer will we have access in the ways that we previously did. Things are changing, so much so that this is the joint for Luke. From the moment of Jesus fading from their eyes, the 11 apostles were living in the tension that we too find ourselves yet in, that tension of the now and the not yet, the tension of realized eschatology, that we are neither fully here or fully there, but we're in between and called to respond in a particular way. The apostles were expecting Jesus to sit on David's throne. This whole going up in the clouds thing was not in their plans. But the Lord of Lords could not be contained by their expectations. The Lord of Lords could not be contained by their thoughts. And so he rose. And he rose, and he rose, and he rose over all of creation. The Lord of Provisions, however, did not leave them hopeless or directionless. Amen. Our scripture says, while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave to Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This is, he said, what you have heard from me. For John, he baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not too long from now. This is the promise of Pentecost. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the advocate, the comforter, the guide that would never leave us. This is Jesus saying, yet again, I have to be about my Father's business, but I got you. I will not abandon you, my followers. Jesus working it out for the good of all and for the glory of the triune God gives them hope, gives them a promise, even if it's not what they could understand from their human perspective, even if it's not really what they wanted from their human perspective. For indeed, the apostles totally missed what Jesus was saying. They had images of an earthly kingdom where they would overthrow the Roman occupation. They couldn't perceive that Jesus would be destroying the old ways by completely changing what was possible, by going beyond human control and powers to divine control, power, and wisdom. Transformation bigger than any kingdom ever was or ever would be. When the apostles asked him, Lord, is it time that you restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that Father has set by his own authority. You will receive the power. Jesus, prior to being lifted up in body, prior to being lifted up, and the apostles prior to being lifted up in consciousness, names their human limitations. There are things and mysteries that we don't have access to. That can be hard for us, amen? That can be hard to not understand, why is it not working the way I thought you were, Jesus? Why is it not happening the way I thought you were going to work? Their spiritual strength, however, and their ability to witness is affirmed, and they are given what they needed. In our lives, where are the places in which we want to know the whys and we want to know the whens, but instead Christ is calling us to just witness to what it is that you see? So much of our angst comes in that space, amen? Amen. We want to know the whys. We want to know, when will it happen? When will it come together, God? Instead of just witnessing with thanksgiving, we have breath in our lungs. We have wisdom, hope at access. God is doing a new thing in this moment, and the apostles can be shocked and were shocked on how things quickly changed, because as soon as he finished that phrase of, you don't get to know, but the Spirit will come upon you, telling them that they would be witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth, at that moment when they understood the scope of their call, not to one small group, but to the whole world, at that moment when you have the most questions of, and how's that supposed to work? As they were watching, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Then suddenly, two men dressed in white robes said, people. Why are you gazing up? Why are you standing there looking towards heaven? Jesus said, Jesus has been taken up from heaven, and he'll come back right when it's time for him to come back. Those weird white robe wearers do some strange things. Those weird robe wearers were present at the tomb and said, woman, why are you weeping? He's not here. Those weird robe wearers are telling them, stop staring at the sky. You've got things to do. Did you not just hear what you've been called to do? Not to Jerusalem only, not just to Judea, not just to Samaria, but to the whole world. You are to witness. Even in our socially justice-leaning atmosphere, we can be caught looking up to the heavens, squinting to see if we might be able to discern that Jesus is coming back really soon. And while it seems okay, it doesn't take serious the command that we actually have in these days to witness. We can do that. We don't have to understand it. We just have to say, I've seen it. I've experienced it. We can celebrate at this table as a sign of witnessing to the reign of Jesus Christ. We can celebrate in our homes in the way that we love and care for each other as a witness to new life and resurrection and reconciliation and thanksgiving and hope and love and peace and joy. This means we witness when we point to truth over lies. Amen? Amen. This means we witness when we celebrate healing over brokenness. Amen? Amen. This means we witness to the risen Lord and the graciousness that we exhibit in the grocery store, in our offices, in our classrooms. This means we witness to the beauty of justice over the corrosive nature of corruption in our legal system, in our political system, in our home lives. To do so is to also be lifted up, amen? In spirit and in truth, we can be lifted up in Christ. May we, like those New Testament Christians who eventually stopped staring at the sky, witness not because we have to, as Halverson says, but because we can't help but to do it. We too are compelled to share the good news of the Messiah. Let us leave this day renewed, compelled, and always being lifted up. Amen.
Please stand with me and join with me in the affirmation of faith. In life and death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. With believers in every time and space, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God and Christ Jesus our Lord. Please be seated. Now is the time when we give our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. We pray that you continue to help us share your love and your word throughout our church, our congregation, our community, and the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
This is the table, not of this church or yours or mine. This is God's table. And so we come from north and south and east and west to gather in this place. Come you with much faith and you with little. Come you who have been here recently and for those for whom it may be a long time. Come, not because I invite you, because God invites you, and come feels compelling. This is the Lord's table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of all beginnings, you spoke a word and your spirit acted, calling forth the first heaven and the first earth. Rivers teeming with life flowed to the seas. Holiness roamed the hills and the valleys. Peace was planted deep in the heart of creation. To your children, you created in your image. You made the promise to be our God, but we heard sin and death calling us. And we crossed the boundary into their power. But you did not turn your face away from us, but longing to be gracious to us, you sent messengers to invite us back to your heart where we might live. When we continued in our foolish ways, you sent Jesus in your name to remind us of all the promises that you had made, so that those who have been called home to you and those who continue to journey your way, we join with the peoples in praising you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, God, who makes all things new. Blessed is Jesus Christ, our joy and our Savior, hearing our cries for help in the dark of the soul. He came, bringing the light of your love, finding us living in the sedition of sin. He came to make a home for us. Going to the cross for us, he went into death's cold tomb for us, so that we may not be afraid. But cradled in the warmth of the power of resurrection, we would find hope. As we remember his promise and always to always be with us, let us celebrate his saving grace amongst all nations. We speak of the mystery we call faith. Christ died so death would be no more. Christ was raised so the first things might pass away. Christ went away and will come for us to take us back to you. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and with your church and in the world. Make our joy complete. Lead us to walk in the light of Christ. Continue to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For you alone, our God, are faithful and just. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor be yours, Almighty God, both now and forever. This is the bread.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Jesus said, whoever is hungry, come to me. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Come, for Christ has prepared the table for all of us. Amen.
Let us pray. God of glory, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. May we be renewed in strength and in vision for the calling ahead. Amen. Let us sing together our sending hymn, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me.
This benediction from our brother Richard Halverson that I introduced earlier. Know that you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants you to go through where you are. Believe this, and in the grace of power and of love of Jesus Christ, be empowered. Amen.